3. All right, there we are. Very good. All right, don't forget the big adult Christmas party. That's when, Miss Virginia? The 10th. Okay, so that's what, 2 weeks out? Yes. 2 weeks out. Miss Virginia needs your money by the 7th. Okay, and the cost per couple is? 15 per person, 30 a couple. Is that right? Okay, very good. 30 a couple, 15 a person. All right. And if you need financial assistance, please see me. We'll try to help you out on that deal. And then, very good. That's coming. And let's see here. What else? What else? Other announcements? Anything else? All right. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Amen. All right. Still got leftovers? Yeah. Brother John, what you got? Next Saturday is men's prayer breakfast. That's right. First Saturday of December. Okay, thank you, Brother John. Very good. And then we got some birthdays for you on the 28th of November. Bobby Coons. There he is. Ding, 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 ding. Bobby, how old are you going to be? 66. Wow. All right, man. 66 years young. And then a friend of the church, Miss Jolynn Haggerton, she may be watching. Her birthday's on the 29th. Anybody know how old Miss Jolynn's going to be? 80-something, all right. Huh? She may be 90, amen. You're older than her, all right. Miss Bicky says she is not 90. She's older than her. All right, outstanding, very good. Any other birthdays? Okay, let's sing some happy birthday. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Well, stand if you can. We're going to sing Sitting at the Feet of Jesus.
And done.
And I'll stand.
my soul today, a more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine.
We just come to you, praise you for who you are, what you have done in our lives, Lord. And forgive us where we failed you, Lord. We try to walk the straight line, but sometimes we just kind of fall back, Lord. But that's what the meaning of church is we come and listen to your word. Pastor Lee is bringing the word to us, and it'll grow us towards you, Lord. You have this, not in our minds, but have you in our hearts, Lord. Bless those that are not able to get here today, Lord. They're homebound, and I know in their hearts they'll love to be here, and we really miss them. And thanks to our visitors, too. We just love to see them here and hope many more to come. Lord, again, just thank you for everything you've given us. We just had a day of celebration called Thanksgiving, and give thanks for everything you have done and given us in our lives, Lord. We should not be fall short of thanking you in our walk every day, Lord. So again, Lord, as the blessings you give up, we just give a small portion back to you, Lord. So again, just use that to apply to your works in the church that we have here. We pray to your holy, precious name. Amen.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubt and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Amen.
Time for children's church, okay? Amen. You're free to go. Free to line up to go. All right. Well, those of you with us online, good to have you with us this morning. Those of you visiting with us, let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. It's always good to have visitors. Especially the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Amen. People still hung over from the turkey and thinking about what they're going to buy each other for Christmas. It's great you folks showed up for church today. Amen, amen. Hopefully your football team won, right? How about them Aggies? They finally showed up and did something. LSU. Yeah, man. Big win for the Aggies. Amen. And we can only hope that the Texans will do better next year. All right, if you have a copy of God's Word, let's take them and turn. This will be a curveball for you now. Preacher's throwing you a curve. We're going to Philemon, all right? Find Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Philemon, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. We'll get back into our series of messages on the Gospel of Matthew next week. But today we find ourselves in the little prison epistle called Philemon, all right? Those of you with us online, Philemon, go to Hebrews, take a left, you'll be right there. Don't go too far. If you get to Titus, you've passed it. It's a little bitty book. Philemon. If you found Philemon this morning, would you say amen? All right. Well, that's some of you. Amen. All right, Philemon. Beginning in verse 1, you say, what chapter? Well, it's just verse 1. You call it chapter 1 if you want to, but it's just verse 1, right? Verse 1 in Philemon here, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, that would be Philemon's wife, scholars tell us, and to Archippus, that would probably be one of his adult son, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open to it. And Lord, in the midst of the rat race of all the sales, the Black Friday, the Cyber Monday, and all the retailing and everything going on, keep the economy afloat and going. Father God, we pray that we would see the truth of this passage. We would apply it to our hearts. And Lord, we would see at the end of this thing that we are this lost and dying world's hope of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, may we be people that forgive. May we be people that extend it. May we be people that seek to give it. And, Lord, for those that need to be forgiven, may we seek those out that need to forgive us and make peace with them. So, Father God, we love you. We praise you today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, I would entitle this message simply this. You know, traditions are good, amen? Starting new traditions. Sometimes traditions can become sacred cows, and sometimes they lose their meaning. But this is a good tradition to start. Well, what tradition are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the tradition. How about starting the tradition this holiday season? The tradition of forgiveness, amen? Man, every Thanksgiving, at the end of Thanksgiving, I'm going to go through my mind, I'm going to go through my heart and figure out who I need to forgive. And before Christmas gets here, I'm going to forgive them. Well, that would be a great tradition, amen? Forgiveness. Now, preacher, what are you talking about forgiveness for? Well, you know, when we get together as a family, or we get together as extended families, boy, the house gets crowded and the temperature gets up, and sometimes things are said and a line is crossed and somebody gets offended and feelings are hurt. Man, it's on. It's on. So with that said, is there anybody you're having a hard time forgiving? Is there anybody you're having a hard time forgiving these days? Or have you ever forgiven someone who does not deserve it? Have you ever forgiven someone who does not deserve it? Well, then if you could say, answer that, yes, well, then this sermon is for you. And if you're sitting here today and you have never forgiven someone, you've never forgiven someone that does not deserve it, then this message is really for you. This message is really for you. Because let me tell you something, friend, ain't none of us deserve it. But Jesus forgives us. He forgives us. See, forgiveness is a strange topic in our world today. In our culture, it is a strange thing to even discuss outside of these four walls. Forgiveness. Sampling of the news over the last week to 10 days. And you can tell our society and our culture could use a major lesson on forgiveness. Mass shootings. One at a gay bar. The other at a Walmart. Now, isn't that just a range from a gay bar to a Walmart, man? Two mass shootings. Two, and if you've been keeping up with the local news, two area shootings in the Houston metro area this Thanksgiving holiday, both perpetrated by disgruntled ex-husbands. One ex-husband, he goes into his former house, he kills his wife and her new boyfriend, he injures two. He goes to San Antonio, turns himself in. Another ex-husband, he goes in, the boyfriend is carries a firearm. And so that ex-husband gets shot dead, right? Amazing to me. For many of you here, for many of you watching online, your personal experience knows of the examples of forgiveness that are difficult. The examples that are wrenching. The examples that seem impossible for forgiveness to happen. Your experience shows the difficulty of forgiving and the difficulty of being the one who is forgiven. And for still others, forgiveness is a topic filled with pain because we know we need to be forgiven and we're not. Or we know that we should forgive and we don't. According to the Bible, if you ever read it, if you study it and get into it, you cannot get away from this topic. This topic of forgiveness, this need for forgiveness, this need of being forgiven in a fallen world, you cannot get away from it. So we feel the need for forgiveness in everything. We feel it from our jobs, to our friendships, from our marriages, to our own conscience. We know that we do wrong and that we need forgiveness from others in a fallen world. And we ourselves must grow, we must grow in our ability to forgive others. Because friend, that's what this world needs. It needs some Christians out there in the real world, outside of these four walls, going above and beyond and giving the olive branch when we can. Giving the peace offering when we can. Building a bridge instead of burning it down when we can. Amen? We need to be a people that grow in our ability to forgive others. But how, preacher? How does it happen? How can we do it? Well, one of the best places to see this in the Bible is in this little bitty book of Philemon. Now, how in the world do we get to Philemon? Well, go way back on down there in the first century. How do we get Philemon? Nero. Emperor Nero, Roman Emperor Nero, he reigned from AD 54 to about AD 68. He was reigning during the latter half of Paul's ministry. And he was probably responsible for Paul's death in A.D. 68, not long before his own death, in fact, in A.D. 68. Now, we think, scholars have studied this and believe this, we think that Paul was first imprisoned in Rome about A.D. 59 to about A.D. 62, and it's generally thought that this was the time during which he wrote this little bitty letter. He wrote a number of the letters that we have in the New Testament from prison. And this Philemon is one of those prison epistles. It's a short letter. In fact, it is the third shortest book in the Bible with only 335 Greek words. So, I mean, it's tiny. So, what's going on in the book, preacher? You talk about forgiveness. What's going on? Well, we see a drama playing out in these 335 Greek words. A drama. It hinges and it revolves around Philemon and this man by the name of Onesimus, right? Now, what's going on with Onesimus? Onesimus had run away. Now, while on the run, he had certainly been converted to Jesus Christ. He had gotten saved while being on the run from his owner, Philemon. And now he's coming back to Philemon because he understands that what he has done is wrong. And so verses 1 through 7 are the verses in which Paul prepares to ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus. So in our verses today, Paul does not even mention the situation. He doesn't go there. He's preparing the ground. He's preparing Philemon for his request to forgive Onesimus. He's preparing to ask Philemon to forgive, and that is one way. That's one way we can learn from him and from this little letter as we look at five things that Paul was reminding Philemon of. Five things of making sure they were in order to help Philemon to be able to forgive. I don't really know what to call these five things. I don't know. I thought about calling them five prerequisites. I thought about calling them five factors of the formula of forgiveness. I really don't. But there's five things in here that I think if we'll pay attention to, I think if we'll try to implement into our hearts and to our lives, we'll be better equipped to forgive. And let me tell you something. Forgiveness is more contagious than COVID. You start forgiving, and I mean that thing will jump around from person to person. And people will start getting peace and joy and having Christian happiness, right? And getting rest down into their bones. It's amazing when people start forgiving. You can't really test for it. You just have to do it, amen? You just have to do it, amen, amen? So if you're taking notes, this is the first thing we want to look at. And what, you know, it always comes back to this, you know? It always comes back, it always comes down to this. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, number one, the foundation of the gospel. The foundation of the gospel. Save people, if there's anybody going to forgive, going to be saved folks, right? Saved folks have the best opportunity to forgive. They have the person of the Holy Spirit in them. They have the power of God's love imbibing and inside of their very being. If there's anybody going to forgive, it's going to be somebody who's been touched by the gospel. Amen? Foundation of the gospel. Look at verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. Grace and peace to you. Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? It was a very common way for letters to begin back in the first century, back in these biblical times. Grace and peace to you. Now, grace was the Greek greeting, and peace, or shalom, was the Hebrew greeting. And so what is Paul doing here? Paul is combining these two, but theologically, we know what's going on here, don't we? Theologically, when we talk about grace, the mercy of God, is how we come to have peace with God in each other. It's by His grace. Amen? Grace is a profoundly Christian greeting when it is said by a Christian like Paul here. It is profoundly Christian. Here, Paul is specifically praying for Philemon that he will know these great gospel blessings of grace and peace. That'd be my question to you today. Do you know these great gospel blessings of grace and peace? Yes, yes. Amen. Do you know them? In verse 3, look at verse 3 with me. It says, grace to you. In verse 3, that you there is the good old famous Texan vernacular of you all. That's how that ought to be translated. That's you in the plural. In verse 3, that you is you all. It's in the plural. Now, throughout the rest of the book, it's going to be you in the singular. But that first you in verse 3, that is in the plural. Paul is talking specifically to Philemon, but Paul has essentially asked Philemon's church, to overhear his encouragement and admonition of Philemon, which is a very skillful move on Paul's part. And then notice in verse 4, Paul calls God. What does he call God? He says, my God. Can you say that about Jehovah today? My God. Can you say that about the Almighty today? Christians know wonderful unity. We have a wonderful unity together in being able to say, if you can say it, my God, or our God, not the God of our city or the God of our country, not the God of our profession, but the one true God who is my God. Amen? My God, hopefully, is our God. If we're going to forgive, we've got to have the foundation of the gospel. That's what we've got to build on. We're going to forgive. We're going to grow in our ability to forgive. But number two, we have to have the context of the church. The context of the church. Boy, that gospel and the church go hand in hand. Do you see it? Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul, prisoner of Christ, Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Here in the New Testament, we see very clearly that churches met in houses. This was before there were buildings like this, and folks had come together. It was before all that, before they started building projects and planting signs out on by the street and all that jazz. But they had to meet, and so they met in houses. See, a church is a congregation because it congregates, don't you see? It comes together. It physically comes together. New Testament congregations are supposed to meet for some specific reasons. Did you know that? Yeah. Now, preacher digresses and talks about sports, and that's not really one of the main reasons, right? Preacher digresses and talks about food, and that's really not one of the main reasons. But I do know what the main reasons are. Amen. The church is to come together to be in God's Word. To be in God's Word and to pray. To be in God's Word and to pray and to sing praises to His name. But not only sing praises to His name, but to be in God's Word and be instructed by the Word. Why would we ever be instructed by the Word? So that we can obey Jesus' commands. Amen? And really what defines a church are the two ordinances of the church. By baptism and by coming together to experience the Lord's Supper together. You can go to Bible study today. You can go to Bible study in somebody's home. You can go to Bible study. And people will do that. They'll like check out of their church and they'll go to a Bible study that's meeting over here at another church or a Bible study that's meeting over here at a house or a Bible, wherever the Bible study is. And boy, they talk about what they get out of it and it's always about them. It's always this and that. And they say, well, you know, that's kind of my church. And I'm kind of like, oh, don't say that. Don't say that because that's not church. They say, well, I really get a lot out of it, but that's not the point. The point is, are they what? Are they furthering the gospel? Are they baptizing? Are they coming together in the Lord's Supper? Well, no, they don't do that. They don't do that because we're different people from different churches and we're all this other stuff. And those people don't go to their churches either. We just come to this house and we have church. Well, friend, if you're going to have church, you better bust out that bread and get that cup out. You better find your trough somewhere and start baptizing some folks. If you really want to be one, you want to be a church. Oh, hopefully I hadn't stepped on too many toes on that one. Amen? They were brought together, all of them, simply by their shared faith in Christ. This letter was not written only to Philemon, not only to his family, but it was written to this church to help Philemon to forgive. What are you saying? I'm saying that the church is useful to help us in the kind of challenging obedience that we are called to live. Friend, this ain't easy. This Christian life. Now, the payout's awesome. The payout is incredible. But the living the life, that's a difficult thing to do. See, we're saved individually, but then we're brought into this church. We're brought into the church. We're baptized in. And what's going on in the church? The church is full of relationships with real people with whom we flesh out what it means to love the invisible God. One reason you have friendships like this in the church, one reason you have relationships like this in the church is because even you, I'm talking to you today, even you will have to have difficult issues addressed sometimes in your own personal life, and you will need to be helped by people who love you. Who love you. They don't want to throw you under the bus. They want to build you up. They want to help you get past it. They want to help you grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They want to help you be more in the image of Jesus Christ. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you, man. They're trying to help you. You hear me today? Godly relationships prepare you for the trials you don't know are coming. They're coming. You don't know it, but the trials are coming. And if you wait until those trials come, it's too late to build those relationships. You got to have those relationships in place before the trials. That is the beauty of the church. Amen? The context of the church. And so the question would be, are you building the kind of relationships right now that will help you endure? Are you building those? No, I'm really not building those kind. Why not? Friend, do you think your life is immune to trials and tribulation? There are nobody here immune to that, right? Well, I didn't get COVID. Well, you're still going to have a trial and a tribulation, right? The trials and the tribulations are coming. Build those relationships. It'll help you persevere. That will help you go through trials in order to grow in sanctification. That will in turn allow you to harness your energies, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, to help others in their lives. It's just a beautiful cycle that goes round and round. This brother or sister's hurting. These church folks come in and help them and encourage them. Get that brother or sister built back up, and then somebody else is hurting, and then that brother or sister is part of the group that helps them. It's just a beautiful cycle that continues. Amen? But we're talking about prerequisites or ingredients or formula factors. I don't know. But they're beautiful things here. The foundation of the gospel, the context of the church. Number three this morning, the practice of prayer. Friend, if you're going to forgive, you're going to have a prayer life. If you're going to forgive folks, you're going to have a prayer life. Amen? Oh, you're going to have it. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me. Thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Intercessory prayer, right? Intercessory prayer is when you stop and you take time to ask God to do things for somebody else, right? You have stopped your grocery list praying. You have stopped, what can I get out of you, God, praying. And you have started, you have pivoted, you have transitioned to praying for for other people's needs, other people's hurts, other people's struggles. Does that make sense? Intercessory prayer. As we consider this brief prayer of Paul's, the Apostle Paul, we see that thanksgiving is to be an important part of our praying for others. Preacher, I can't even stand that person. You better start thanking God for them, right? You're going to be spending eternity with them, right? You better start liking them now and thanking God now for them. Because who knows? In the heavenly choir, they may be your seatmate, man. Right next to you. God's got a sense of humor. You know that, right? He may just put one on you, right? Amen? Did you notice what caused Paul to be so thankful? What caused him to be so thankful for Philemon? Look at verse 5. Because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. What's Paul doing here, church? He's sowing the seed of a thankful heart. He's sowing the seed of a thankful heart for others that are in conflict with each other. He's sowing that seed. See, it is a hard, try this. It is a hard time to be in conflict with and hold unforgiveness in your heart towards a brother or sister when you are daily thanking God for their faith and love in Christ. Try that. In fact, you take somebody that's lost, somebody don't know the Lord, somebody don't know any better, take somebody like that who's been mean to you, sinned against you, offended you, whatever crossed the line, and you start praying for them. They don't have to be saved. You start praying for them. You, the saved person, start praying for the lost person and thanking God for their creation, and thanking God that they're here on this earth, and thanking God that they have an opportunity to get saved. And friend, you'll start to even forgive them. You'll start to even forgive them. Try it. Try it for 30 days. Try it. The practice of prayer. Number four, the necessity of love. Going back to the foundation of the gospel, right? Verses 5, because we really can't love unless we've been saved, right? I mean, we can have some lost person feelings of love, but it's really not love until Jesus is on the inside, right? Amen? It's really not love, right? I mean, we can have some parental love as a lost person, but it's really not the love that Jesus has intended for us to express to others until we have Christ inside of us. But the necessity of love, verses 5 and 7, because I hear of your love of the faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. He calls him brother there. Faith without love is dead. Faith without love is dead. If faith appears among us, then love will be visible among us. Yes, yes? With that in mind, look again at verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, for Christ's sake. Now, what did Paul want? Paul did not want Philemon to evangelize Onesimus. That brother's already saved. Paul wanted Philemon to care for Onesimus, to forgive him, to treat him as a Christian, to be generous to him. Right? Now, did Philemon have every right to be upset with Onesimus? Absolutely. In that economy, Philemon owned Onesimus. He was a possession. But before he's a possession, he's a creation of Almighty God. And Onesimus said, I'm tired of being a slave. And so he ran and took off, right? And he found a new master. He became a slave of Christ. Yeah. He got saved, right? And so now he's coming back. he's coming back to Philemon, right? To give Onesimus. He wanted to give, Paul wanted Philemon to give Onesimus. Verse 6, I pray that the fellowship in the Greek, koinonia, oh man, he's throwing it on Philemon. I want you to give Onesimus Philemon. I want you to give him koinonia. That's what I want you to give. I want you to share, Philemon, I want you to share your faith by extending love and forgiveness. Philemon, if your faith is real, you'll step up to the plate here and extend love and forgiveness to Onesimus. Paul prays for Philemon that he would be effective in his acts of sharing generously. Philemon, you've heard the truth. Philemon, you know the truth. Now, Philemon, it is time to live the truth. Your brother in Christ, Onesimus, is coming back home. And per verse 7, Philemon is already modeling what Paul is praying. So Paul's setting it up for success, for spiritual success for both of these men. Amen. Do you see it? Paul had thanked God for Philemon's actions. Now in verse 7, he's turning and speaking directly to Philemon. And here he is expressing his appreciation to him. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Amen. Now, I alluded to it earlier, but I'll go ahead and make it a point here. And that's this point here, the last point. Preacher, you're getting us out. You're getting us out early. Maybe. Right? Number 5. I told you it was contagious. Forgiveness is more contagious than any virus out there. It is. The foundation of the gospel, the context of the church, the practice of prayer, the necessity of love, if you're going to grow in your ability to forgive. Number 5, the example of a fellow Christian. You've got to be that example because somebody you know needs to forgive somebody else. So you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And you have to make that a testimony in your life that you have forgiven this situation or this person or that certain. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be the example. Verse 1, look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. A prisoner. Paul introduces himself as a prisoner. He calls himself a prisoner of Christ. But friend, he's really in prison, physically. Paul is a prisoner, but he's not just any prisoner. He's a prisoner physically, but a prisoner of Christ Jesus for Christ's sake under Christ's control. Now, Paul could have, when he was incarcerated, he could have waxed cynical. He could have gotten all negative. He could have got grumbly hateful. He could have piled all the burrs he could find up under his saddle and talk about how wrong he had been done. But he didn't do that, did he? No, he didn't do that, did he? Did he, church? He didn't do that. Being a leader among Christians in a fallen world means being prepared for conflict, means being prepared to have it shoved down your throat, means being prepared to be stabbed in the back, means being prepared to have everything done wrong to you that can possibly be done wrong to you, right? You notice he calls Archippus, probably Philemon's adult son in verse 2, a fellow soldier. Being a Christian is being in the army of God. And when you're in the army of God, when you're in any army, and you're at war with an adversary or an enemy, be prepared to be wounded, right? Yes? Paul is communicating by inference, a powerful example. He's saying, if I am in prison and I have forgiven my persecutors, who are not saved, by the way, then you can forgive a brother in Christ like Onesimus. Make sense? Who is saved. So, we come to this part here at the end, and it's a simple question. Can you forgive? Can you forgive? That may have more to do than you realize with the answer to this question. Question number two. Do you know yourself to be forgiven by God? Do you know yourself to be forgiven by God? Because, see, friend, this is it. Let me bottom line it for you. Make it real simple. Preacher, you could have just told us this at the beginning. We could have prayed and gone home. We could have. But we didn't, right? But let me bottom line it for you right here. An inability to forgive someone may very well suggest that you have never really experienced the forgiveness of God yourself. Oh, no, preacher, I'm telling you, okay. I just want to cover that base with you. Have you considered what it would be like to know there is a righteous and holy God and that He will not forgive your sin? Have you ever considered that? That He is committed to not forgive your sin? Can you imagine how different your experience of life in this world would be if God were like that? But He's not like that, is He? Have you perhaps taken forgiveness for granted? Have you taken it for granted, thought too little of it? If you know you're not forgiven by God, the good news I have for you today is that you can be forgiven. Amen? You can be. Even today, in a few moments, you can be forgiven. I can show you in the Word of God where you can confess your sins of unbelief and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and experience this forgiveness I'm talking about. Amen, amen? I close it out with what Spurgeon has said. I love how he put it. He says, I wonder how long a man would need to spend in preparing himself for coming to Christ. When he had done it all, what would it be worth? He goes on to say, preparation for coming to Christ is simply this. If you are empty, you're prepared to be filled. If you are sick, you are prepared to be healed. If you are sinful, you are prepared to be forgiven. And the question is, friend, what more could you want? What better, what more significant thing could be said to you than that you are forgiven? So, friends, appreciate that. Praise God for that. And in appreciating your forgiveness, let me just push you a little bit. Let me push you. Those who know themselves to be forgiven are compelled and commanded to forgive others. Let me remind you of what Matthew's gospel said. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then later on in the Sermon on the Mount, the model prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That's what it means, church. Forgiveness. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and Lord, we thank You for the power of forgiveness in our own lives. Those of us that are saved, those of us that know salvation, those of us that experience the gospel, those of us that are blood-bought. Lord, we're thankful for the power of forgiveness. So, Lord, now, by the Holy Spirit's power, may we pivot on that and extend forgiveness to those that so desperately need it. May we not hold the grudge, and may we not build the bitter wall. But Lord, may we tear it all down and let the love of Christ flow through us to that person who needs to be forgiven. Father God, I pray that we would find it in our hearts to begin the process and to take the journey to forgive those we need to forgive. Lord, for those of us that know there's somebody with something against us, and we need to seek that forgiveness, may we not be fearful, may we not be timid, but Lord, may we begin to prepare the ground of coming to that individual and seeking to be forgiven so that there can be peace, so that there can be love again, so that there can be joy. Father God, wherever we're at in the equation, may we do what's right, and may we do what's Christian. And Lord, may we take the lessons of Philemon and apply them to our situation and seek to bring glory and honor to your name. Or there may be some here today that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. They've never experienced this forgiveness we've talked about. And Lord, we pray that before they leave this very day, before they leave this building, they would inquire. If they're convicted by the Holy Spirit, they would inquire what it means to receive Christ and be truly forgiven. Lord, for others, we may need to come to the altar and lay some things down. Maybe it deals with forgiveness or unforgiveness in our hearts. Lord, may we not squander this opportunity of praise and worship and of just getting with you for a few more minutes. But Lord, may we be faithful to get right. Get cleaned out, whatever it may be. May we be faithful to do that. Lord, we're thankful for those with us online. We're thankful for those that are here with us this morning. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in this time of invitation. The altars are open. You come.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. Don't forget about tonight. We'll be back at 6 o'clock dealing with our series of messages on the book of Leviticus. So that'll be fun and good and right and free and all that good stuff. Amen. So come back for that tonight. And we'll pray you out, and you can go enjoy this Chamber of Commerce weather. Amen. It's nice out there. Take a picture of it, right? Put that in your computer to pop up around August 15th, and you'll be blessed that you've got to live this day. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, your grace, your forgiveness to us. Lord, as we go today, we take your word with us. We take the message with us. And Lord, may we sow it far and wide. And Lord, may we seek to live it. And we love you for it today. Lord, thank you for this time of year. And Lord, in the midst of all the craziness, may we have times of reflection, times of introspection, times of slowing down and just thinking about your goodness and your grace toward us. We love you for all you do for us, how you provide, how you lead us and guide us. We praise you and thank you for that. Give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may we be able to say it was good, so good, to be together in the house of the Lord today. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.